Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.
This is the Arts of Scriptural elective, if you're here for that. If you're not, you need to then exit. I'd just like to introduce Craig Bauer. He comes with a wealth of experience, over 30 years of teaching art and design and also French, so he might grace you with some lovely French words. He's currently at Torrens Valley Christian School and is the teaching head of learning in the arts, so if we could make him welcome.
Thank you. Please come to the front if you're, it's a bit like an Anglican church down the back. I can say that because I'm Anglican originally. While you're coming down, hands up if you're involved in the arts, art, music, excellent. So I do have folders, but there were more than they told me. So what I'm going to do is give you at the end, give you my email address, and I've actually got the whole thing plus more information all ready to go. So if you email me, then I'll just flick it straight to you in digital form, so you can use whatever you want. And if you're faculty coordinators or whatever you are, use it for your colleagues or your schools. And I've also got a lot more that I'd like to forward to you as well. Now, just see if I can. Okay. So I do have some more sheets that my wife, who's also an art design drama teacher, will hand out a bit later on. But just letting you know that all of the artwork that I'm using is from my students. And my wife's students, and also that's one of my paintings. You might have seen a few around, and my wife's and myself. And what I'm trying to do is, as I speak, try to see it as the way to teach. So I like to give workshops where the way I'm presenting is pretty well how I teach French or teach art or teach design, and use whatever you want. There's a lot of focus on music as well as art, and I love singing. I sing a lot, but I'm not a muso. So if you know more about certain people than me, then please don't think I'm trying to be an expert on it. Okay, so I love this subject because I think that what we are, we're pretty special. That's why I wanted to know, hands up, how many people are in the arts. Because we're special because we have a special role, I believe, in God's plan, God's creation. And I think in many ways, as arts people or arts appreciators, we actually get it. We get, even though it might be difficult, we actually get what our role is. And it is, that is essentially to glory God. And I'll preface also by saying that, you know, I have a very, Torrens Valley have a very biblical worldview, and it's been great hearing all through the last 2 days on just how everyone's talking about from creation through to now is the Bible. The Bible's relevant. It was relevant in the Garden of Eden. It's relevant right now, and quite different to what I heard on a Q&A last night on the TV and back in the hotel. Did anyone hear that? And it was amazing. Creation hasn't stopped. And, you know, if we think creation happened and it's all over and we're just waiting, marking time until Jesus returns, then, you know, what's our role? Why are we learning how to be good Christian teachers? And we are part of creation, and we represent the creative side. And the real one was used yesterday in a PowerPoint, but that's one of my students' works there. And the arts is a way of explaining scripture and expressing our response to it. The arts helps to bring God's word to life, pre and post literacy, always has, always will. And I wrote that because we are part of this ongoing reflection as it was to God's glory. It's our role as people in the arts. I'm taking a bit of a historical view today, but I'm doing that from I love history of art, history in general. But also, as we look at the big picture, also it keeps repeating itself within each generation. So there's a big sort of a big macro and a smaller micro sort of attitude. I put that scripture in just to show that as the commissioning of Matthew and in Corinthians, that post-Jesus, they were still talking about the fact that creation is being fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill it, but we are part of fulfilling God's mission as well. So that just building up this notion that creation and creativity continues. You'll see lots of images throughout the PowerPoint as well, and this is one that my wife did, picking up on Yahweh, and what we're doing a lot at the moment is, at school, is using a lot of scripture. We're getting the kids to read scripture, and you'll see some of the scripture around from my Year 10s, where we get them to read up. We like dealing thematically, so around the wall you'll see animals, for instance. And the kids have to then read scripture to find out about animals, and then from there, it's free choice. You can choose what you like, so that by choosing what they like doing it, and then they get to know the verses and how certain animals feature and so on. So we've picked up on themes of animals, water, the water theme Cameron. That was fantastic. The imagery of water. We've done that before. And obviously things to do with the weather and so on. So this whole idea of kids work well on mnemonics and visual, dealing with visual, spatial in the arts, and kids work well. So I was sort of thinking the idea of a base, and if we start off at creation, it doesn't really matter when that was, but a long time ago, the whole notion that God uses all things and all people and events to his glory. So as we've heard through the last 2 days, and as you'll hear through this, you'll see God uses the most unlikely people in likely situations to do his work, including us. So the first thing I want to pick up on is Psalms, and have a little bit of a talk about that for a while, because I'm fascinated by Psalms and how in the Bible, it's probably the first time we start thinking about music and worship in the Bible. And there's lots of reference to it and so on about, singing, about the music that we use and so on. And as I was reading about that, and of course we know David was a large part of the Psalms, And we've heard through the week there's been a lot of reference to Psalms and about how the Psalms are essentially to be sung. And they're about the good times, the bad times, praise. They're about lamentation. They're about fear, sin, or a whole host of things, joy. And David, in his unlikely role as a kid, a young kid overcame Goliath, then as a sinner, and then as later on. So he goes through all these periods of life, very unlikely all through it. And out of that, we still now, to this day, still praise and sing and use psalms. And we normally think of musical life of Israel as beginning with David and his Levitical Academy of Psalmists, or at the earliest with Moses and the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Actually, it began earlier than that. A musical tradition does not take hold in the life of a people overnight, even if it is especially created, and such creations are relatively rare. And because of my interest in French, I was looking at this Jewish French lady called Susan Haig Ventura, and When she was, she moved out of Paris and down south France during the Second World War. And during that time, she started to look deeply at the at Psalms. And she what she wanted to do is try to analyze the Psalms and look at what was the actual sound, what was the music to the Psalms, because we know that they were music. But like the language Latin, we know how to write it and say it, but we don't actually know, they still don't know the way it was spoken. And so she worked on that. And this is a psalm that she first translated through her research. And it was Psalm 81, begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. So she worked on that. And through her research, she saw that there were different accents through the Babylonian accents, some for prose and some poetic, but there are also a Palestinian tradition as well. And the interesting thing that came out of that is, I was talking a bit about God uses, you know, we all know that God uses all things to his glory, and a lot of what came out in that in the Psalms was as a result of the Babylonian musical tradition. So that tradition came out of evil, if you like, and yet God has a way of using that and putting all things to good. And so she did that for Psalm 20, Psalm 81, and then I was looking at this text from Thomas Ravenscroft, 1621, and essentially it's this. I love the English, and it's got all those CKs and all the interesting ways of writing, but out of it he writes in the middle in bold there, in my opinion 'tis too laborious a task for any man to study the attainment of the Hebrew musical accents, for the tunes used in David's time are too far removed from our understanding. And so that's with all of that the knowledge, the reference to the Gregorian chants, knowledge they had of the day, they still couldn't work it out, and back then they were still saying it's too hard. So that got me thinking about is that actually important? And I love Palestrina and the Gregorian chants and a whole lot of church chant, and that whole culture of singing the monks as they sang, as they wrote, and picking up on that, on the psalmist tradition. And the other day I coordinated a language school and after hours at our school, and there's Punjabis taught, and the teacher there, she's a Sikh, she asked me to the 21st of her son. So rather than go to church on Sunday morning, I went to the Sikh temple and thought that would be just as a great Christian thing to do to spend time with their family. And what struck me then is the way the Sikh prophet or imam, I don't know what the Sikh ministers are called, but they were chanting the verse the same as what I imagine the psalmist would chant or sing. And it transported me quite a long way back, where I didn't understand what they were saying, but it was their way of remembering. And so as I've looked at this area, what I've found is it's a way of remembering, and possibly what I'm trying to unpack here is that maybe that's why we sing a lot. Maybe that's one of the reasons why stories are sung, sea shanties, early Australian music, and that came essentially from England, Irish ditties, and so on. It's part of our culture to sing and to pass down the knowledge. And so then it got me thinking that knowing and reciting the original melodies of the Psalms is interesting but not essential or surprising. The Word of God doesn't change, but our God-given creative energy using use of emerging technologies means that we will always reinterpret and express our faith in fresh new ways. So as long as we stick to the Word, it doesn't really matter whether we can or can't translate that. And so as I was thinking about my baseball Matt, I thought, what would be the next major thing of as artists, as creative people, that God would have used us to maintain his word? And I thought, well, the Psalms was a way of using music to recite. And then I was thinking the printing press, because even though many other things happened, the printing press was the thing that took scripture from basically 2 pages a day to 1,300 pages a day. Just think about 2 pages to 1,300, then times that by 356 days of the year. It's just an amazing... And then imagine if you made 10 of those printing presses and 100. And so that's what happened. So there was this explosion of printing that replaced that laborious 2 pages a day to an amazing explosion of literature and, of course, the Bible. And so it created this explosion. But what it did is it actually, in doing so, slowed down the need for the people who used to do the calligraphy, the scribes, they ceased to have to sing because some other guy in a printing press was punching it out. So too did that art of illumination become a dying art. So back here I've got the Reformation. Now, I thought in the sort of history of the arts in music and culture, we think of the Renaissance, which sort of happens around the printing press in 1400s. 1500s, but really I found that the next big thing was the Reformation, which obviously Martin Luther and the arts. And essentially, for those of you who know a bit about history, it's essentially when Luther complained about the fact that what he was being taught in the Bible and what he was seeing, what he was reading, nothing was lining up. And so, you know, he put his, I think it was at 96 letters of protest on the door, and of course that created a whole new protesting. But in doing so, he basically freed up, I believe, Christians to start reading the Bible again. The printing came in, so he didn't intend to start a new direction, but the printing comes in, people start being challenged, and so they start to be able to get access to read the word themselves. And so Reformation, for me, was a big thing. And, of course, at the same time as he did that, he challenged the Catholic Church in the north of Europe. And, of course, as a response, the Catholic Church came back with a more exciting form of marketing. And it used a lot of art. So a lot of the art that we see used to hang in churches, big, massive window-sized paintings, hanging in all the churches. Between the windows of the church would be these big paintings. So now when you go to Europe and so on, you don't see them because they were stolen and ended up in museums, but they used to be in all of these art, these massive big paintings ended up between the windows telling the story, because they were still essentially illiterate, and so they still relied on the arts, the music and the artwork. And for those of you who like your art, one of the big things that came out of Baroque is the use of dark and light shadows, so very theatrical. And this is actually Supper on Emmaus by Caravaggio. And the fact that this was the first movement in history as a result of the Reformation where people were depicted in everyday clothing. So these guys are wearing Italian, basically, clothing of the 1650s, right? It's the first time. And so they're trying to connect the Catholic Church, for political reasons, was actually doing a great job on connecting the people back to the Bible through art. Foreshortening is another one where there's always a sense in Baroque art where you're just on that point of finding out or doing something, which I love the theatrics of that. So he's just about to get out of his chair as they realise it's Jesus. And the foreshortening on the right. Now, the reason why I'm showing you these two images is they're both statues of who? David. All right. So, another trick that I use in my classes, works every time. for the right answer. Now, what I want you to get out of this and the difference between a Renaissance, that calm serenity, that whole humanistic notion of Renaissance, of man being created in God's image. So if you want to make a man in God's image and God's all-powerful and awesome, the way that Michelangelo did it is to create this most muscular sort of buffed guy. Now, the thing I tell my students is David's basically a boy. And if you look on the hand on his shoulder, that's holding the slingshot. And so he's got this calm, like, yeah, job done, or yes, I'll take on Goliath. But the story is he's this little kid who was wanting to do God's work, but he was this little kid. And I, you know, any sort of kid sort of under 10 who looks like that, you know, fantastic. But so that's David. And then you look at the right one, and this is Baroque art. So this is 150 years later. And this is by Bernini. And his is the sculptures that are all on the top of St. Peter's Cathedral in the Vatican. And you can see it's the same story, but this time it's at the point of the release of the sling, the shot. And so you can see the drama and the focus, you know, the absolute focus of what his purpose is. And you can see, you can always look, where is he looking? He's looking to where it's going. And the power of that one compared to that one just, to me, epitomises a whole lot of things in sculpture, art and music of the Baroque period. And how, you know, in a way, God's sort of leading people back to a more real version of the Bible. The reason I put that one is I just like the idea that the way they used to get the black dot in the sculpture is of the pupil is to carve a little dot and then have the little white piece of marble sticking into the black dot to make it look like the highlight that you get when you get a highlight on a black dot, like on a manga cartoon or something like that. So who's this guy? He said Handel. Yes. Okay, now I love Handel because, once again, so this is all happening around about the same time as the Baroque, in the period of the Baroque. And he would frequently declare the pleasure he felt in setting the scriptures to music and how contemplating the many sublime passages in the Psalms had contributed to his edification. While it was common at the time for composers to be employed by churches, Handel worked in the secular music world so that he could bring the Bible to audiences. This caused some controversy among the Christians and at the time, but Handel remained committed. He was known for his generosity and charity. The first performance of the Messiah was for an Irish charity fundraiser. It's actually for men in prison. Handel personally conducted more than 30 performances of the Messiah. Many of these concerts were benefits for the Foundling Hospital, which Handel was a major benefactor. All right. And one of the things here, this is actually the play, as interesting to hear. Who was it? Was it Dan or Date? I thought it was someone else yesterday or today talking about Esther. Yeah. And when Handel wrote Esther, the musical, it was actually driving bankrupt in 1747 or something like that. And it basically was Handel's, his Messiah, that actually took him out of bankruptcy. But it was Esther because it was an Old Testament story. The churches just wouldn't give it any airtime. As I was reading it, I was thinking, wow, we just did Esther this year. So isn't that great the way we've sort of come around? And that was a piece of work that my wife's kids did with. You've got the E for Esther and the X for Xerxes there, and a piece of creative art that they did in class in year 9. The thousands of pounds of Handel's performances of Messiah raised for charity led one biographer to note in his day, Messiah has fed the hungry, clothed the naked, fostered the orphan more than any other single musical production in this or any country. So I just take great heart about how someone who was seen by his German contemporaries as a bit wacky, spent most of the last half of his life in England, And I was saying to our music teacher just how inspired that music is. I'm not going to play it because we know it, but it does make you feel like the guy has been inspired to write it. I mean, how could you think that up? And then the good that it did as well. And yet he was he only performed it once in a church while he was alive. And that was just an image that one of my students did for the about salvos. About street people. Perhaps the works of no other composer have so largely contributed to the relief of human suffering. So Charles Wesley now, and we've heard about John Wesley today, but Charles Wesley, once again, a guy who, a bit like we've heard all through the last 2 days, he went over to America to do his mission thing, to be a great Christian, and actually got really despondent, came back, and then it was really when he came back that he really started and actually really found his faith. Having been on a mission, he actually found his faith when he came back from being a missionary, which is interesting. But obviously he had his brother as well, John. But we all know these well-known and over 1,000 tongues. I put that there because I know we all know various versions of that. And once again, a lot of these are based on the Psalms, just rewriting the Psalms in a different way for that period. So I've got Reformation then French Revolution sort of there because I find that the Reformation was a way that the arts could bring people back to God and free people up because it was no longer under the control of the Catholic Church. But then, of course, the French Revolution and all the revolutions that followed it then really... If you look at that, that's really the beginning of the end of Christian art. That's when the church stops patronising the arts like it used to, and people then do it because of their true faith. So it's really a trigger to, and I sort of feel that people start to do Christian art and music and drama because they really believe in it, not because it's institutional. Now, I've got here Psalm 100 and... We all know the Psalms and the praise Psalms. And I put this in here because as I was tracing through, I was thinking about the way that the Israelites used music when in exile and in tough times, but also that whole African, Black African movement of song that happened on the chain gangs and as a result, back in this sort of in the 16, 1700s when they were during this period of slavery, where out of that, God used that pretty evil thing really to create this whole new era of style of music, Black African music, and just put a few songs in there as well. So I'm trying to paint that picture that don't give up, you know, out of tough times comes these amazing flourishes, which keeps me, you know, positive. So that's just a couple of verses there from Wesley, actually. All right. Now, anyone know what this particular psalm is? Have a read. Oh, go back a bit. Sorry, I was leaning on my getting my phone ready. Does anyone know it? Maybe. yeah, it is. And I was just about to play it, but I lost it on my phone. Yeah, who said that? Yeah, you too. I'll play it in a minute. But what I find with you too is that they're some of the best contemporary Christians without saying they're Christian, but they are continually using psalmist words, but you know, same as Handel's Messiah, what U2's done for Africa and awareness and civil justice is way more than we can imagine that they could have done if they sang church music. And that as art teachers and artists and music teachers and drama teachers and media staff, we have to be open, because we're a very disparate, hard bunch to catch. I always say that art teachers are like herding a bunch of cats, you know. You just can't keep them in. You know, me speaking to you, and everyone's got their own view. I mean, speaking to Christian arts people, I found, is probably the most daunting thing. Have you ever tried to organise a conference of art teachers or music teachers? No one comes because they all reckon they know, you know. It's just very hard. So that's why I love what, and I'm sure you love what you do, because we're actually dealing with so many different ways of doing music or doing art or doing drama. There's no right or wrong way. But as long as you have your own personal faith and your own personal ability to underpin that, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because ultimately you are giving, and that's that whole Christian worldview of, you are ultimately, by singing about the traffic, you are giving glory to God by the lyrics you use, by your attitude towards the traffic. Okay, now what these guys do is, like so many, you know, I was going through, you know, Sister Janet Mead. Do you ever remember that? The old people here, "Oh Father, who art in heaven." Amy Grant back in the 80s. You can go through all these artists who have used contemporary style. And I was listening. I knew I was going to do this presentation today, so I was listening to the band today, which is fantastic. But they were basically all the U2 bass, U2 drums, you know, U2 lyrics, bridge, you know, chorus, first, bridge. You know, it's that structure, the structure that's contemporary, that is feeding now into church music. And so that's why we shouldn't be worried about using new technology and doing things differently, and is it the way it was done before? So we can either take the existing and add new instruments, like Handel did. We can use existing words and write different music. We can use the existing music but write new words. Or we can write new words and music, and it's all good. And artists and musicians have been copying each other for years, you know. It's just that, you know, as people die and as generations change and new technology, it just remorphs itself. Okay, oh, no more long lollies. Okay, Spicks and Specs. Right, so I'd like 5 people to come out who like singing, please. Quickly, 5 people. So, okay, is it over with till the pregnant lady sings, or you're allowed to sing, or you can't? Yeah. All right. So there's 3 more.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Let him praise him, the name of the Lord, for his name alone exalted, his splendor and his love. The earth.
All 500 miles.
Yes. Yeah! I didn't even get it wrong, I did. So thanks to all the people who got up. You can see how much fun that is, but you know, as I was trying to get to contemporary change as well, apart from happy, and it's really hard to find stuff because the kids know what the real lyrics are and they contradict what they're trying to do. It's actually quite hard. So that alone was a challenge, but. It's just a way of proving a point and getting that sort of idea. You can get that going. Now, while we're getting the thing going, you still going?
Still going. Right. Won't be long.
Okay. What I want to do, I've got this tune in my head that I want to teach you that I thought of, and I want you to. You've got a phone, you can take it. But then I want you to come up some lyrics and email it to me or use it. So. I'll sing the tune, I'll hum the tune, and then we're going to do rounds. Okay? So, hum it with me as you get the gist of it. So, it goes like this. Da da da, da da da, da da. I just feel I love it. In my mind the sort of lyric was Emmanuel, but apart from that I don't know. So I'd love you to write some music to it and do something with it. Alright? And sort of that's the idea of the kids at school, we just come up with this myself and the music teacher. I said, right, we need to have a competition to write music. And every year they get $100 and some productions. So, you know, just that way of encouraging kids who love music, and there's lots of skills out there to actually do it rather than have the skill and so on. Okay, so you guys will do the whole up through and then you guys will kick in halfway through. Ready? Two, three. Da 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 da. Ready? You start. Da 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 da. Anyway, I hope some of you, if you like the tune, I haven't actually written a note, so, but hopefully it's going to inspire you to do something with that. So that's the sort of thing you can do with your kids, or in a group they can workshop, someone can write some music, someone's got skills and lyrics, and that's how that happens, as you know. All right.
That was what I got up to. Okay, so the next was different points of view. And drama's great for that, art's great for that as well, but what Katarina's really good at is teasing out from the students to own a character part. And if you look at the three guys, I mean, she was doing this thing on the nativity, wasn't it? Yeah, anyway, it's pretty good when you've got a black African guy, sort of an Asian-looking guy and a white guy. I mean, that's sort of so typical of the Three Kings. It's pretty good. But what she got them to do is to look at, to read the Bible and to really own the passage and then say, okay, almost mind map all the things that person might have thought, seen, done, exactly. So they actually owned that character. And that was fantastic. And you can do that when you're doing art and writing music and as well, or when you're doing your brief for design. But as a result, they had to write their own lyrics, and they then had to then sort of do the first round of scripting. And then Katarina was able to bring it together and make it coherent. And so that went down really well, and that was performed to the whole middle and junior school. And so this is a whole theme. You might have seen the images on the screen at the start of the day. Each day there's all these angels and various things. Well, that's my students in year 10 who've done the whole section on angels. And what I show them is I've done a few sketches for a sort of on it. How do you see it? Do you see it from the angel sitting on the rock, on the stone that's rolled away? Do you see it from the point of view of the two women looking up at the angel? Do you see it from the point of view of behind the angel looking down at the two women down the bottom? Do you see it from the soldier who was hiding and seeing it all happen? Do you see it from inside the tomb looking out with the light inside the tomb like the ones at the bottom? And so the ability to look like at it from a different angle, and so they're tease out different ways of writing music, creating some form of drama, whatever it might be, art. Now, in your pack at the end of this talk, I've put if you didn't like anything else today, I've said these two sheets, or especially this one here. I'm doing this National Assessors course, and it's all schools ultimately will need to have done it, and it's a form of in-servicing. And essentially, go back. Oh, my sheet, where is it? Anyway, I'll show it to you, the sheet and the slide in a minute. But essentially, the second sheet that I've got in this, Katarina, can you hand those out? The second sheet that I've got here, this brown one, is you might have seen this. This is NAPLAN for year 7 and 9.
Is this for people who don't
have.
Now, the reason why this is important is this is where everything's heading with the Australian curriculum. This assesses courses in the Australian curriculum thing, and a lot of schools, because the arts is off the radar, it's not maths, writing and arithmetic, it's sort of, it's coming, but it isn't, you know, the big thing that has to be implemented straight away. And what I'm now doing, and I'll email this to you if you want it, is we've written pretty well all of our programs for year 7 through to 10 in the arts. But what underpins a lot of it is in the questioning, in the sort of matrices you have to do for your assessment, is essentially this. And for those who don't have one, it's Bloom's taxonomy we know about, and there's a lot of talk about that, but it's Costa's levels of questioning that I really like using, because on the right-hand side, you've got essentially three levels. You've got the blue, the red and green. The blue is essentially description and basically tell me what you see. The red is a little bit more why was it done and how was it done, in other words, the next level of sort of depth of unpacking it. And the green level is how would you have done it differently, what would you use it for, and sort of higher level reasoning. And what I'm now doing with my students is I'm getting them to look at texts, I'm actually getting to analyse art, I'm getting to look at movie design, whatever it might be, the Bauhaus, whatever it is. And I'm actually forcing them to say, right, I want you to do two questions and answer them there. Set the questions and answer your own questions. So they're actually, I'm forcing them to actually use this as a structure so that they actually will get to some of the green level. Because if you then look at the brown, this is all based on analysing movies and TV and performance in the Australian curriculum. What NAPLAN does really well without telling the teachers and kids is it actually does that. And if you look at the start of it, it says basically, what do you see? What do you do? In other words, blue. How did you do it? And that sort of thing. Red, and why did you do it? How did you make you feel? And so on. Higher learning analysis, green. So the kids, the average kid in NAPLAN who just says, oh, yeah, I like the movie about the pig and, yeah, I saw a farmer and I saw some dogs chasing it and it was at a fair with sheep. You know, that's going to... green description will only... That's a C. So if the kid then starts talking about, well, the pig was actually acting like a dog and, you know, there was an old farmer and his wife, that's sort of red. But the higher end thing about all that analysis of the movie and how the pig related to the sheep and how it controlled the sheep, that's the green, that's the A. And so if the kid's only ever learning the basics, then you'll never get the green and you'll never in that land get a good mark. And so as you look through these questions, you can see it very subtly sort of says analyse, 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 but it doesn't use those words. So as teachers, if we're teaching to that, we have to cover that. And if we're teaching to that, the kids have to, at year 12, get an A. And what this assessors course is teaching me is that we need to set questions that allow the kids to get an A. We can't just keep setting questions that allow them to get C's, descriptive stuff, because when it comes to year 12, they'll still get a C even though we like their work. So the first thing is they talk about in this assessors course and Costa's reasoning and so on, is start where the kids are at, and that, in other words, use parables, which we've heard. How many parables have we heard in all the talks this week about, you know, just in case you don't know what I'm talking about, let's have a parable. And that's what art and music is. It's really a parable to God. It should and can be a parable to God's word. So we start where the kids are at and then we take them on our journey. And I like to talk about, you know, do you know the weeping angels in Doctor Who? You know, start where the kids are at. Because one thing that came through from Beth, was it just before in here, that is that and our school, when I first went to Torrens Valley 4 years ago, I was assuming that everyone was a Christian. All the kids were Christians and all the parents were Christians. And then I find out that no, some of them started off as Christians at year, you know, juniors, but by the time they hit year 10, 11, 12, a lot of them just fall away. And so I've had to sort of start where the kids are at and take them on my journey that way. You might have seen that painting on the overhead. So we need to, through the assessors course, we need to know our stuff. We need to know our content, and we also need to know the Australian curriculum so we can basically get to it. If we know where we have to get to, we can work backwards. That's someone's interpretation. I make them all look at, everyone wants to do the nice wings and the fluffy angel, and then I talk to them about the fact that angels, a lot of them in Revelation look pretty scary and so on, so some of the kids like that. Challenge them in their theory and practical experience. That's what that Costa's level of questioning does. And as we all know, use a variety of assessment methods because especially in our realm, you know, we need to, some kids are good at practice, some kids are good at theory. Some kids in art and design, I'll get kids getting into computer if I know that they can't paint, or if they don't like playing instruments, get them into hip hop or something like that, and that you know you're going to connect on. Set benchmarks and standards. This is coming. This is exactly what I've been told in the course, sort of cut down version, that are realistic and distinct. And that's what these levels of questioning do. They basically, and you'll get this on the PowerPoint if you want it, they start always in the NAPLAN at the blue level, so every kid has to have some sort of success, in other words, a C grade. And so you start at that, but you must make sure that you allow them to push on. And feedback must be valuable. And enough said there, but essentially kids want feedback, and I find that initially a kid might like the feedback that I'm giving them, but at the end of the year they love it because they know what their benchmark, they know what they have to do to basically achieve that standard. Ecclesiastes, always a little bit left field Ecclesiastes. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. This is true of macro level, but not generational micro level. A lot happens, you know. Yes, art and music and drama and so on has already happened, but like I said, because of the technology and because of the way kids experience things differently and so on, things are different even though there's a level of repetition. We are beacons and, you know, that's what keeps us fresh. This is a picture that one of my Year 12s did. Couldn't really paint to save himself, but, you know, I just got him just working on the famines and Exodus, and so he loved it. And so we just repeated skills, and he had a quite successful out of that. That was the water theme there. So the last part of our visual mnemonic is actually creation again, because it starts again, you know, and so some may say that we creation is ongoing to the last home bases when Jesus comes back, but it's just we just keep going again. We just keep going back to Psalms and praising God and responding back. So there's this, you know, the printing press, replace that with a phone, you know, replace it with some other form of technology, you know, replace Reformation and French Revolution with some other form of new social ism. So bars and melody, does anyone know Britain's Got Talent? So next term, one of my old scholars is, he writes, does freestyle rap music and so on, and I've got him coming into the school.
Got Talent.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. So what are your names, boys?
My name's Charlie.
And my name's Leandre. And together we're Bars and Melody. Bam.
What's the dream with you two guys?
I just want to deliver it to you people. I just want to give an awesome performance.
I get ya.
What did your mum and dad do for a job?
My mother's a personal trainer, and my father's a stonemason.
Stonemason!
Yeah, bro!
And you?
My mum's a cook in a school.
Dinner lady, yo!
And, my stepdad, he owns his own company.
He's a businessman, yeah!
Can I just say one thing? Alicia, I love you so much. You're my inspiration.
He fancy Alicia. He don't like Amanda.
Amanda, you're beautiful as well.
He is lying.
Boys, can I just ask you, what are you singing?
Well, it's Hope by Twista and Faith Evans, but it's a bit of a twist in the rap because I wrote it myself.
What's the song about?
It's about anti-bullying.
Anti-bullying?
Yeah, because it's something that I feel deep about, so... I started rapping because I went through a very hard time in primary school. I was getting bullied.
As a parent, it's one of the hardest things to see your child upset and going through emotional turmoil. It is hard, very hard.
When I used to be, like, down in the dumps, I used to write down my raps. I could express myself through what I was writing down.
I was very happy with the way Leandre dealt with it. They actually stood up to the bully and resolved the situation.
I moved school and it's a much better environment for me. I love school. I really do love school, it's amazing.
I'm very proud of him, very proud.
The first time we met, we really clicked. It was just an automatic connection. Like, I didn't think it'd be like that.
We're brothers.
I think music's made him a lot stronger. If it wasn't for his music, he wouldn't be as confident and as cheeky, you know? It just helps him a lot.
We really want people to listen and hear our lyrics that are in our song.
OK, good luck.
Thank you. Yeah. Check it out.
Oh no.
Here we go. Please help me, God. I feel so alone. I'm just a kid. How can I take it on my own? I've cried too many tears here writing this song. Trying to fit in, where do I belong? I wake up every day, don't want to leave my home. My mama's asking me, but I'm always alone. Too scared to say, too scared to holler. I'm walking to school with sweat around my collar. I'm just a kid. I don't want no stress. My nerves are bad. My life's a mess. The nature call me, they hurt real bad. I want to tell my mom she's having trouble with my dad. I feel so trapped. There's nowhere to turn. Come to school. Don't wanna fight, I wanna learn. So please, Mr. Bully, tell me what I've done. You know I have no dad, I'm living with
just
my mom.
Hopeful, yes I am. Hopeful for today. Take this music, yeah. Use it. Let it take you away.
I like these terms.
Hopeful, hopeful. And he'll make a way. I know it ain't easy, but that's okay, just be hopeful.
Why do you trip back a single day? I didn't ask to be born, but now I have to pay. I ain't got no money, you take all I have. When they give it to you, I search through my bags. I feel so scared when you shout me down. You kick me, punch me, throw me to the ground. When I ask you, yo, what have I done? You hit me again, I make fun of my mom.
I'm hopeful, yes I am, yeah. Hopeful for today. Take this music,
check it out.
Use it, let it take you away. And be hopeful, hopeful, and he'll make a way. I know it ain't easy, but that's okay, just be hopeful.
What I wear is all I have. No. We lost a home, I'm living from a bag. Yo, Mr. Bully, help me please, I'm flesh and blood, accept me please. Hey, Mr. Bully, I don't know what to do. My mind, I can't explain what I did to you. Mr. Bully, take a moment, please. Every single day, you bring me to my knees.
Hopeful, yes, I am. Hopeful for today. Take this music and use it. Let it take you away. And be hopeful,
yeah.
Hopeful. And he'll make a way.
I know.
It ain't easy, but that's okay. Just be hopeful.
Oh,
Dirty Terry. Every time I show that. So Simon, he only pushes it when he's really wrapped, and they go straight through the quarterfinals. But to me, that's powerful stuff, you know. And as teachers, that's the experience we want. And we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going, but we just have to be listening to God and be part of that journey, so that energy is glorifying God at some stage. Maybe not when we're actually in teaching. It might be later on. So let me conclude. The arts provides praise and outreach in and out of church. And we're part of that. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Not creation back 5,000-6,000 years ago, whatever. Now. They can't preach it to the creation that's past. It's now. In the arts, we're always showing and helping the next generations towards a fresh faith. You know, I've been teaching for a long time. I'm part of helping you, the younger ones here. And someone helped me when I was older. We may be teaching the next handle. We may be the next handle ourselves. All of our students are handle, because we don't know if they're going to become white with one or these two guys, you know, or David Smith, who became a Christian at uni. So if nothing else, you know, keep trying, because we are part of creation as artists, and we are that mouthpiece for God, because we are the ones that help other people to praise God. And God bless you in your journey. Thank you. I've left the if you email that to me today or sometime, and then I'll be able to flick it straight back. All right, the information that I've got. Thank you.
Just like to say thank you to Craig. So often we get bogged down in curriculum writing and all those things that we have to do and all those pressures that we have. I think seeing those two boys on there, it puts it in perspective that the arts is such a vital way of communicating for our kids, just to give glory to God. And I think it just puts it right there in perspective. So on behalf of iTech and all of us here, thank you very much for imparting your knowledge.
Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.